if you don't mind, let's share in a prayer together this morning as we illuminate this word and lift the words off the page and share the gospel of Christ with you through word and through message this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and merciful God, we just come to you this morning on this very special day. We all know to be homecoming. We've worked so hard this entire year to get here. And just in a brief bit, after we share in your word and share in your message, we will enjoy a meal together. We will enjoy fellowship. And at that meal will be a presentation of a look back at Bethel in the last 12 months. This is an opportunity for us to change our year of dedication and anniversary, perhaps. It's a new look. Homecoming is a visit back, and it's also a visit to present and to celebrate who is present and with us currently, and also to look at our future. And Lord, we see this in this scripture reading that we have in Nehemiah 8. Help to lift these words off the page that you have prepared for us into our hearts and our souls, so that we can share them with each other and among each other, and so that we can share them with those who may not know your word as we do. Help us to be disciples of yours both here today in this celebration and worship service, as well as in our communion together at our meal and beyond. Help us to unite this community in the glory of God, in the glory of your ministry, both here at Bethel and other churches that make up such a wonderful, wonderful, blessed community that we know to be home. So again, Lord, we thank you for the ability and the grace and the mercy that has allowed us to truly come home today. And may we find your home, our home, in your word as we read it aloud and share a message from it. We ask all this in our living Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So I'll be in the New Living Translation, if you're following along with me. We're going to begin in 8, and we're going to go through 1 through 12. And this morning's message, pay close attention to 12. I won't tell you when you get there, but, well, I may share it with you. It's the very last verse. But I want to share with you what I wanted to speak to the children about quickly. But anyway, we're going to begin in Nehemiah 8, beginning in 1 and going through 12. So let's go and see what the Lord has to say this morning. In October, when the Israelites had settled in their towns, all the people assembled with a unified purpose at the square just inside the water's gate. They asked Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of laws of Moses, which the Lord had given for Israel to obey. So on October 8, Ezra the priest brought the book of the law before the assembly, which included the men and women and all the children old enough to understand it. He faced the square just inside the water's gate from early morning until noon and read aloud to everyone who could understand him. All the people listened closely to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood on a high wooden platform that had been made for this occasion. To his right stood many. Ezra stood on the platform in full view of all the people. When they saw him open the book, they all rose to their feet, knowing that the word of God was to be read. Then Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people chanted, "Amen." "Amen," they said, as they lifted their hands high. Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Levites then instructed the people in the law while everywhere remained in their places. They read from the book of the law of God and clearly explained the meaning of what was being read, helping the people understand each passage in the book. Then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were interpreting for the people said to them these words, "Don't mourn or weep on such a day as this, for today is sacred, a day before the Lord your God." For the people had all been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. And Nehemiah continued, "Go and celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks, and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. This is a sacred day before our Lord, he said. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And the Levites too quieted the people, telling them, hush, don't weep, for this is a scary day, our sacred day. So the people went away to eat and drink at a festive meal, to share gifts of food and to celebrate with great joy, because they had heard God's words and understood them to be from him. This is the infallible word of God. Thanks be to God. The last verse says, so the people went away to eat and drink and have a festive meal, to share gifts of food and to celebrate with great joy, because they had heard God's word and understood them. Friends, this is Homecoming Sunday. You are home because of God's word. And that's the children's message. The word of God is home. To everyone gathered here and who are following us live, welcome home. Today is truly Homecoming Sunday. And it's also an anniversary for Bethel and her people, who we beloved and are beloved. There is no better place to be on Sunday mornings than right here at Bethel. No better place. To all of you who are gathered here this day, and I am overjoyed to be here. And we have big things planned for you this morning, and I've spoke of many of them. As you can see, our beloved friends, Stacy and Vicky, are with us, and we lovingly call these Stacy Sundays. And he has already shared in his talent that God has shared with him. And thus, we are thankful and grateful. At the end or conclusion of this service, this worship service, I'll pray us out, and then I'll pray over the meal so that when you arrive over there, you will be able to eat a meal fit for a king, because I assure you there is one prepared. And if you don't get full on the first trip, make sure you take a second and a third. Because that's what Scripture told us to do this morning. Share in the joy of that fellowship. So why all the hubbub? Well, it's homecoming. And in the immortal words of Robert Frost, home is the place where, when you have to go there, they have to take you in. I find myself stoked this morning because of homecoming. Because of people coming for the fellowship that homecoming brings. Believe it or not, friends, if my memory serves me right, this is my fourth homecoming in the pulpit. Hard to believe, but I think I'm right. Tammy's probably going to correct me if I'm wrong later, but I think I'm right. But what I will tell you, regardless of my length and time in the pulpit with you, these days have only gotten better. The time that we share in this ministry is only getting better and better. And I wouldn't miss a minute of it for the world. It doesn't matter whether we're worshiping here on Sunday or having a meeting perhaps in the building or gathered together in a work day. Things here get better and better. Friendships grow. The love that we share with each other continues to grow and develop. And we become better for it. Why? Because we are in foundation of God's Word. There's something special, though, about homecoming here at Bethel, especially as we reflect on all the great things we have done together over the past year since our last gathering. I won't be able to recite them, but shortly you will see a huge PowerPoint that's presented to you about the past year and all the things that have come our way as a ministry. Many of you will be impacted by that because you participated. And those who were absent those services will see, or those events will see, all the great things that this ministry is doing. And they'll probably make sure they put it on their to-do list for next year or this new year as of today in our anniversary. Tell you a quick story. You know I love stories, but there was a pastor who was invited to preach a church's homecoming. And the story goes that he had must have been a visiting pastor, and so they had called him back to preach this service, this particular service. And upon his arrival to the event, he saw a little old lady who recognized him, and he recognized her, and they shared their niceties together. And she said, "Pastor, it sure has been a long time. The last time I think I saw you, or since the last time I saw you, I've had all my teeth pulled and replaced, and I got a new refrigerator in my house." That might have been a little more information that we wanted to share this morning, but planning on that and putting that together, in her world, that was a long time. All those events, those things that triggered her in her life, that's a time and event that meant something to her, or she likely wouldn't have said it. Thus, a lot has happened for us as a ministry since our last gathering, our homecoming gathering, that is. And friends, the Lord has been truly good to us indeed. Make no mistake. Whether it's oral reconstruction, much like the older lady, or new appliances in our house, freshman years in college, school starting for our young people, new church members joining our church, or other changes in God's ministry here at Bethel, all are manners of blessings. All of them. We have seen some joy together. We have seen some laughter together. We have seen some harsh times together. We've also experienced some illness. We have experienced heartache and tears together. Some of us have lost loved ones even. But through it all, God is good every day, and every day God is good. So today, my friends, we celebrate. We celebrate Homecoming Sunday. Through all the seasons of our lives, the Lord takes care of His children. I believe homecoming fills a need in our spiritual lives that we need every year. It's a time to re-energize and to catch up with one another. It's a time and an occasion to consider the past, reflect on its heritage. Where do we go from here? To look back, to check out the present, look at our wonderful memories, look at where we are today versus where we were yesterday, and also see and take in the blessings of God in our lives for what comes tomorrow. I honestly believe it's a God-given gift to be able to remember and long for those good days, the things that we do remember. And it's also a God-given gift. It's His gift to help us forget some of those days we didn't like so much, that weren't great. But then there's another gift that yet He gives us, the gift of hope, to look forward to what the next year brings. This idea of homecoming is nothing new. It goes way back to the Old Testament, at least 2,700 years or so, to the days when the children of Israel were restored to their land from being exiled in Babylon for 70 years. It's a long story, but the Cliff Note version is that by God's providence, the king released the captive people of Israel and allowed them to return to their homeland. And with His blessing and sponsorship, they did just that. They came home. Today in Nehemiah, we find the great homecoming. After months of hard work, the wall had been rebuilt around the ruins of Jerusalem. You read that on and on into the chapter. And a platform had been erected as before. It was the first step in rebuilding God's temple. It was a far cry from the glory days of old Jerusalem, but it was a start, and the returning exiles had worked very hard to bring it to fruition, to put it forward, and to share in its glory. Many of the older ones were very young in the old days when Jerusalem was at its best, and they remembered the glory of the Lord shining brightly as the sacrifices were made in the former temple, which no longer at that moment existed. They had worked feverishly to prepare for the Feast of the Trumpets this day. And it was a homecoming indeed. It was a whole new generation who had actually taken charge of God's house to reconstruct it and to bring it back to worship, to bring worship back to the temple, to build the temple to worship in. And God had directed these young people and the younger generation to do just that with the wisdom of the older folks. You see, they couldn't wait to revisit their roots. Many of them had only heard their parents and grandparents talk about the old days. 70 years had passed in exile. They only knew the stories. Some of the older ones remembered the former days of glory. God has called us to live the Christian life in community, in common unity. The Christian life that God has ordained us to cannot be lived successfully in isolation. Let me repeat that to you. The God that has called us as Christians, who have ordained us as His followers, cannot be lived rightly in isolation. It must be lived in community. And here we sit today in homecoming, in celebration of that common unity and common ground. The Scriptures admonish us to gather. It tells us to gather. It instructs us to have these moments in our ministry, in our time together. God calls His people to sacred assembly, both in worship and also in fellowship. In Hebrews 4, we learn the following. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, Scripture declares, piercing to the division of a soul and of a spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of one's heart. God's Word is living and active in each of you, in other words. In short, friends, God's Word must be held central in this church, in His church, especially here at Bethel. The Holy Spirit, our teacher, is truly our teacher. Sometimes we learn through hard knocks, but the Spirit is still with us. He still teaches us what we need to know. The Word of God is the vessel that God uses to pierce and comfort our hearts and our weary minds. It is through our study of the Word that we read that we are comforted, that encourages our spirit to grow. Friends, if you are not a student of God's Word, hearing the Word preached, taking the Word on a regular basis, you are failing yourself, because it is a must. Taking in God's Word daily, weekly, monthly, and annually is a must, because it's not then. If you don't practice in the Word, you don't live in the Word. And thus you're not growing as God has called you to do. It's not His plan for you not to grow. It is His plan and His design through God's life, our life in God, for us to grow in Him and in each other. And thus, this is why this day is important. Because it's God's instruction for us to gather and replenish and re-energize in each other. Today, let us celebrate the reading and the preaching of God's Word. Since that day so long ago that we read about in Nehemiah, when our spiritual forebears met here then in the Word of God, back in Israel, and then yet recreated that somewhere in this county on a vacant piece of property in a lot, when they formed this church, they were doing the same thing they were carrying out in Nehemiah. They were our forefathers and forebears. They brought this ministry to life through the Word of God. And the Word of God has been and ever shall be a spiritual foundation in this ministry. Some years ago, this ministry took on itself to transition, move ahead, change directions. The one thing that the leadership decided was that regardless of what ended up happening, we would stay founded and grounded on the Word of God. And make no mistake, we did. And today, our reward is this homecoming. Together, as strong as we have ever been. Bethel's primary mission is to love God's people and to center ourselves in God's Word. Make God's Word our foundation. Today is a day of worship. Worshiping is the appropriate response to the presence of God. And believe you me, God is present in this place. He will be present with us as we transition from this location to the next. I frequently visit the church every day, almost. I have never walked through those doors and missed or not felt His presence. I've never held a conversation with any of you where I believe God was absent our time together. We are blessed beyond measure. In Psalms 30, verse 5, we learn the following. For His anger is but for a moment, and His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. This teaches me as your shepherd that there will be times of disagreement. There will be times when we don't see eye to eye. But that's only for a fleet moment in time, because joy for both of us, or all of us, come in the morning. Today we celebrate one of those mornings. When Ezra preached to the people of Israel on that day, many in the crowd began to weep. Many of the older ones were stuck in the past and could not give up on the image of the former glory of the temple. But it was the temple and the city were in ruins. They wept for the past and for what they had lost. Understandably so. The Word of God, however, broke their hearts as they became profoundly aware of their sin and what led them to ruin and exile and separation. Grieving is a good thing. Repentance and sorrow for sin is a good thing. Tears are a language that God understands, my friends. And we've shared some in the past year. He understands them clearly. But I am so thankful to announce to you today that He has called us not to live in the past. You see, this is Homecoming Sunday. We're not going to live there. We're just going to reflect there. We're going to live for today, because there is hope and joy in the morning tomorrow, as it is today. In Nehemiah 8:10, it specifically says, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready, for this day is holy to our Lord." The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your defense. and your fortress. It is what will empower you and make you strong in the midst of the life battles and trials that we all will face together as a family of faith. It's what will make His church, this church, Bethel, the strong one, ready for battle. We will truly be the church, the bride of Christ, going forth to overcome whatever evil faces us or whatever overwhelming uncertainty comes our way. Together in Christ's joy, there is joy in that morning, and we shall share it together. God has given you and I a gift. He's given this ministry a gift of being able to stir ourselves up, to ground ourselves in the gospel. Yet it is His best plan for us to stir each other. And thus we must come to worship. We must share in these times of fellowship. Even as our friends say sometimes, I love coming to Bethel because every time I come, they feed me. And today is no different. We love a great meal. You can see by your shepherd. We don't push back from the tables because we're called to do that. But even in those times where that type of fellowship isn't present, this is the fellowship of importance. This is the family that God calls us to be. I close with this challenge from Nehemiah 8. As the people of Bethel, as the friends of Bethel, as those who are watching externally or online who are not physically present with us, live every day with the understanding that your life is a journey. One that you have free will in. This world is not your home. It is, but only temporary. But it's not your true home. Your home, friends, is in the Word of God. Found here at Bethel, in this family of faith, in this family of followers and believers. This is your home. You see, you're different. Each of you are a child of God. You've been branded by the waters of baptism. You are a child of God. Understand that the fellowship in God's house, which we lovingly call ourselves Bethel, is an essential part of your Christian life. Something very important is sown in your life, woven in the fabric of your person and your being. When you assemble with your family and your friends and the people that love you around you, that is God's commandment. That's what God is asking you to do. And make no mistake, there is no better place to do that than Bethel Presbyterian Church. For the people here, love first. The people here, love first. When we assemble as a church family, God is beaming with pride. And today, He is beaming with pride on this homecoming Sunday. You see, joy and happiness comes in the morning. Joy and happiness is sown in the fabric of your lives this morning as spiritual followers of Christ Jesus. The joy of the Lord is your inheritance as a Christian. You already have received it. It is a choice you can make in your life, and it will be your defense in the time of warfare and storms that the devil brings your way. Your sanctuary is home here at Bethel. I want you to check the sewing in the fabric of your garment of life. I want you to ask yourself, I have these things because I'm a member of Bethel. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I live and anchor in the Word. And this is my home. But do I share that joy with others? I want you to ask yourself that question. Do you share in your joy and your Christian life, in your deeds and your actions? Do you guard your heart and protect those you love in the Word of God? That's a self-check. I can't answer that question for you. But I can tell you that God's favor and His love and His joy are in the fabric of your life, in your Christian life, and you're founded in the Word. You see, all these things take a positive choice deep within. It doesn't just happen. Make the choice to rejoice. Make the choice to gather. Make the choice to come to church. Make the choice to love one another. Many of you, most all of you, I will see you well before the next homecoming. But we still don't know what tomorrow holds, do we? Do we even know if we will have a next homecoming? You see, we're awaiting His return. I'm not sure if we'll see lunch. Are you ready? Are you living in the joy of this morning? You're here at homecoming. But let me share with you, this homecoming will not be the last. It may be our earthly last, but it is the example of the homecoming we all will receive in heaven. Let us share in that joy. Let us share and rejoice in those conversations in our fellowship together today. It is what we are longing for as Christians. What say you? Are you ready to experience the joy of homecoming today and tomorrow and for eternity? Amen.